went through that. It was difficult to keep up with it because I could not read it from back there. But one was about the, I think it's 4.75 safety.
Uh-huh.
In the fire suppression, what's happened on the fire suppression? Because I don't know if any of you saw this morning on KY3's, you know, session this morning about the fires and the internal fires.
I didn't see that.
It makes a rather, what can I say? You know.
Well, Wes, the way I understand the opinion of the board is it's up to the fire department to make those decisions on what is required. And we don't have the control.
So you don't have the control as to what type of fire, whether they put in a fire extinguisher or fire suppression,
is that,
or...
Is that not the way I understand it?
No, that one's never changed. Yeah. We've never had in the code they right. had
so, fire. So what is there now, or is there anything now for fire safety?
That right there.
That's
the verbiage of 4.7.5, and then compliance with the appropriate fire district, whether it's central, western.
So whatever the fire district says is appropriate is what's going to be required. That's it, period.
Well, besides that safety.
Besides, I didn't.
4.7.5.
Right.
Will require them to have a fire extinguisher, the smoke alarms, and the carbon monoxide if applicable. And
if applicable, that's going to be determined by the fire district or by the fire departments? Who?
The way I understand it, right?
Fire district. Mm-hmm. Fire district. Mm-hmm. Whichever one district.
So they'll come out, somebody will come out and inspect and sign off on it. Is that right?
My understanding.
To get a CFC, yes.
Before they can operate.
Required buffering. And that's been a long-going issue, and last night in my residence, we had neighbors next door, last three nights, in fact, neighbors next door, and if you've ever been in a stop sign and somebody's pulled up next to you with their stereo blasting, boom, 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 my entire unit was doing that. And so our buffer that we have is that interior wall is our buffer. Gentlemen, and I don't know if what all this is required to meet the requirements. And so what's the requirement? Where are we headed on buffering at this point? Now that's down here under 4.7.11. Because as me, as a permanent resident, if I'm going to be next to a nightly rental unit, and I don't think the people in there last night were the owners. I don't know who they were, but they were. They had the unit cranked up loudly, and you know, that's difficult to live with, guys. Without any time, and do I call the sheriff's department? No, I don't think so. But what do we do? Where do we go?
Are you sure that it wasn't the owners?
Yes.
You are sure? Is it a nightly rental?
No, it's not a nightly rental.
So
now, it may have been friends of an owner. I don't know. You know, I don't know that it was a renter, but I don't believe it was the owner. The owners that I'm acquainted with that normally come in, it was not them. And the other thing that bothers me a little bit, when they left this morning, he had his gun here in his holster, you know, on his hip. Now that, you know, that's not the type of neighborhood I thought I bought into, but maybe it is.
Maybe he's law enforcement.
What?
Maybe he's law enforcement.
Maybe he was. He didn't have his badge, but he had his gun, so maybe he was. And maybe he liked his loud music. So what? I guess what's your fellow's opinion on this buffering issue? Where are we headed with
Wes,
that?
I don't believe there'll be any buffering between one unit and another, other than your wall. I mean, I don't know what question you're really asking on that, on an interior wall, sir. I guess I'm not sure I'm clear on your buffering between units. You know, when just a wall separating. Yeah, I guess I'm not clear on your question.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm clear on that either, because, you know, when it says a buffer, I don't know, you know, at this point, I'm not sure what a buffer, you know.
I understand.
There's been...
We didn't make any changes on the buffering requirement, which was Appendix H, Section 6, and if you go down to 6.1.3, required buffering specifications. In the code book, buffering is a 25-foot deep vegetative buffer. That is a buffer. But 6.1.3 says in lieu of that 25-foot landscape buffer, a privacy fence, a wall, landscaping earthen berm, or other screening device found to be appropriate by the Planning Commission may be utilized in lieu of the required 25-foot wide landscape buffer. So it's going to be up to the Planning Commission to, if they require buffering, what they're going to require.
Well, I guess that's the question that I posed back to you fellows, where, you know, a permanent resident is sitting there next to a rental or whoever. What are we going to do about a buffer? You know, anything?
We can't require a buffer on a duplex. I mean, they're side to side. It has a common wall, and it's a duplex. That's where you're at. What would you consider your recourse to be if there was a permanent resident that was providing a nuisance for you?
That's a good question. The permanent residents that we had there before, you know, there was no problems, you know, so... I can't answer that.
He could sell out to somebody with six kids and a stereo that wants to play Moron Thump just like the other guy.
Yeah, you're right.
I really don't want to come across as harsh, but it's a duplex. I've lived in multifamily, sir, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're right. It's going to be an ongoing problem, and I think, you know, as long as we continue to have nightly rentals invade, we're going to have the problem get worse. So I don't have a ready answer for it either. So that's the reason why I present it back to you fellows. I would hope that you would give some consideration. Thank you. I think that's all the questions I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would it be possible to get a hold of a copy with all of the strikeovers and, you know, and things that are there? Because the copy that I have, I don't have all of that add-ons.
Yeah, if you just do a PSR, because this will be in the file. And, of course, I'll scan and email it. We'll get your email address, and that way there won't be any cost.
Okay, that'd be nice. Thank you.
Yeah, just get a hold of the county clerk's office, Wesley, and then he sends it right down to us, and I'll just scan that deal, shoot it right to you.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bess. Larry?
Yep. First of all, I want to commend the committee. I think you guys made some good changes to the code, made it a little more understandable. I personally don't feel like weekly, nightly rentals are invading. I think it's going to be Branson's future, and I think you guys need to get a handle on it like you're doing. The one thing I did notice that is a little unclear to me is, and I think you need to kind of get specific with it because it'll be just another issue later, roadside curb parking or roadside. I think you need to have an 8-foot setback or a 6-foot setback or some. What is there?
Yep.
Is there a definition on that? Because that's, I've got a project that's going to come before the board. I don't have this issue, but I can see this issue coming up in the future.
You're saying if they park on the side of the yard next to the road?
Or let's say you've got parking that's road frontage, but it's not on the road. Let's say you've got a 10-foot to a maybe a retaining wall or something like that.
Well, that would be parking on your property at that point.
Right. But I'm not familiar with how far...
how much the road easement takes of that?
Yeah. Some areas is 20 foot, some areas is 15, some areas is 10.
It will vary. It varies.
So is the setback to your actual the road setback going to be determining what curbside parking is? I'm just pointing this out because that's
right now the way we've got worded, there is no curbside parking.
No.
Within that,
but what does that mean?
But it's like he's saying, if he makes a parking area on his property in the yard, and it is appropriate parking.
Right, plenty wide, but for a car, but
whatever it is. Then it's parking area.
If you designate that,
it would have to be on the
property. But on your property, not on the road easement.
Not on the easement.
Right. And my question is then it goes back to what's the easement?
It varies.
Right. So an individual would have to determine what their easement is for
Absolutely.
Their particular property, and then you could assess whether the curbside parking is appropriate.
Well, but then at that point, it wouldn't be curbside.
Right. Off curbside.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then... the second question I had was a little bit what Wes was bringing up about the fire suppression. Okay, I've spoken with the fire chief, and according to him, he's requiring a live sprinkler system.
That's what it should be.
In every room on a residential property. And now,
if it's a nightly rental property, it should be.
Right, and that's, I just wanted...
That's my opinion. I don't know the rest of the board. But
I agree with that.
That's my opinion.
You say you've spoken to the fire chief. We have several different fire entities in the county.
I don't have his name in front of me.
Where's your project?
It's over on Iowa Colony Road, where Acacia turns into Iowa Colony up on the
exactly
bluff.
Where it's at.
Yeah.
Is it a new building or an existing
building? It's an existing that we've been remodeling and setting up.
It should have fire suppression in, as far as I'm concerned. Should not be a nightly rental.
That basically would be up to Western.
That's absolutely true.
Fire chief, but we have written in there what shall be installed, and then the rest of it depends on the fire chief, what he may.
Okay.
We've established a minimum standard.
Right, and that's what I was trying to make sure I understood correctly.
Then you're going to have to do whatever they tell you.
Exactly. Okay.
We can't enforce for three different fire districts. So we've got a minimum, and then anything else.
Okay.
The fire district.
So. Got it. All right. So the fire chief has final word on anything in that direction. Okay. All right, gentlemen. That's all I was asking about. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Oh, you didn't want to speak? Okay. Guys, anybody got any opinions on what we've heard and talked about?
I think the changes we've made is a real good step in the right direction. We've got to get a better handle on how many that are out there now. And how we do that, I don't have a clue. But that's my opinion. We have to have control. This puts teeth in our deal, I think. But we have to have more control and more, we've got to approach these people more. And I don't know how to do that, but with the people and the ways that we have to do it. Mm-hmm. That's just an opinion.
Anybody got anything to add to what Rick said?
He's got a point on all street parking, because if you got a 40-foot easement, a 20-foot road, you got 10-foot right of way on either side. If the road bed is in the middle of the easement. And we're telling people they have to be off street. Well, if they're off the street, then they might assume that we're going to have to approve them because they are off street. And I don't know if we need to add something to on-site parking. And then on-site means it's your property. And that can get not only off the street, but off the easement.
It says right there, 4.7.2, nightly rental occupants' vehicles are to be parked on the resident's property.
Easement. I mean, they still own that property, but it's an easement. I mean, that's kind of catchy because that is their property, even though we have an easement on there.
The only exception to that would be as if the street is designed for on-street parking within that residence designated spots, because we do have a couple of roads that they
do have roadside parking.
They do. They're right. Most The majority of our roads are not designed for on-street parking and